It's been a year since Alan of Burning Foot Beer Festival joined us to talk about the upcoming 2022 version of the festival. Alan walks Ken through a survival guide, and we get some updates as to what has happened since last year's post-COVID return to the Burning Foot Beer Festival. Join us as we talk about beer, food, music, and art that goes into the festival, the nonprofits that they help, and chat about the upcoming 100-plus breweries that will be there. We appreciate our sponsors, the Tuna Liquor in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road, North Center Brewing in Northville, Michigan, and, of course, the aforementioned Burning Foot Beer Festival, which is coming up in 2.5 weeks. That's right. That is August 27, 2022. Tickets still on sale right now.
Whether your beer is in a bottle, can, or glass, kick back and relax. It's Better on Draft.
What is this? It is Monday night, August 8th, 2022 at 8 p.m. That's right, 8 at 8. My name is Ken. Thank you so much for joining us for this special edition of the Better on Draft podcast, the Michigan Beer Series episode number 30. Bringing in my co-host real quick, we've got Tito already back. We can't get rid of him. We can't shake him. What you drinking?
Well, like you said, you can't shake me. I'm back in action already. Tonight I'm drinking a Dover Stout by Old Nation.
Awesome. And Wendy, what do you got over there?
I have got the Middle Kolsch Ginger Kolsch. Nice summer beer.
Well, I am going just like it would be a Friday. I am starting off with an Amber Ale. I've also got a Fat Tire and a Smittix next to me, which I am excited to get too. Into. It's part of the Friday episode. I bought maybe a few too many beers. My heart was there to drink all of them, but my gut did not allow me to drink them. But we do have a guest in studio tonight coming back to help us get ready for the upcoming Burning Foot Beer Festival. Alan, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Great. What are you drinking?
I am drinking a Prague Underground from City Built Brewing Company, their Czech Pilsner. And it is delicious.
So good.
So good.
All right. Let's get...
And gotta be some of the best can art on there.
For sure.
I know, right? I look at that thing, man. Who doesn't love that Lion's Head? It's awesome.
Now,
it's
if you're listening to the podcast, obviously you can go check us out on our YouTube, youtube.com/betterondraft. You can actually watch the video and see that can art for sure. But we have in just 2.5 weeks, I believe, the upcoming Burning Foot Beer Festival. It looks like it might, 2.5 weeks. I think my math is correct.
You're right.
With that in mind, what is the first thing we should expect? Let's start with the music. I mean, you have your band lineup ready to go. What should we expect as, for me, I'm going to be honest, this is my first time ever coming. I'm excited because I am a huge Everlast fan. Whitey Ford Sings the Blues is easily one of my favorite albums, and that was one of those back when Rhapsody was a thing. That album got so much playtime on my Microsoft Zune. I'm trying to date myself. Really, it wasn't Microsoft Zune. It was like my iPhone 3. But we've got Everlast. Who else is going to be showing up?
Oh, wow. First of all, you have all the name drops. So the Microsoft Zune, like Whitey's Ford Blues. I love it, man. I love it. So as always, we have a full day of music. So we have two different music stages set up. We have an acoustic stage set up by the water. You're going to see 3 to 4 different acoustic bands playing there, all local acts from the West Michigan area. And then on the opposite side of that circle, as you know, we're set up in a huge circle. So when you enter the area, you're surrounded by breweries, you're surrounded by music on both ends. So on the main stage, we're going to start off the day with Chocolate Starfish. They are the Limp Bizkit tribute band that represents the Midwest. They're out of control. They go in full decor, full costume, and they take that that music very seriously. They have remastered all the tracks, so they play them originally and they sound just like the band. They do an amazing job. So after Chocolate Starfish gets done, then we have Pacifier coming on. They are out of Savannah, Georgia. They have a huge following. They kind of fit that like reggae rock, like kind of like a Slightly Stupid or a Revolution sort of band. They're coming on after them. After Pacifier gets done, then we have Lit comes on. They're an early 90s, mid 90s alternative rock band. They sing My Own Worst Enemy and Miserable and a lot of really, really, really good tunes. So after Lit gets done, then Everlast comes on. So Everlast, obviously, Ken, as you were just talking, like has a very deep catalog. He's still, it's covering a lot of his House of Pain music. He does all of his original songs. He's doing his collaborations with Santana. Like, you're going to hear a huge, huge, huge catalog of music. And then when Everlast is done, then Plain White Tees comes on after that. So you have a full day of really, really, really good bands. No matter if you're going to the main stage or out to the acoustic stage, like, it's going to be out of control.
Now, are we going to see a... special guest when Everlast is up doing House of Pain music with the Chocolate Starfish version of DJ Lethal?
I can't guarantee what will happen. I just know backstage there's a lot of conversations that happen, and sometimes spontaneous things occur. Burning Foot obviously is a good environment for that. We saw that a couple of years ago when we had Everclear and Sponge playing the very last song that they came on with. They had Sponge come back up with them and cover an Everclear tune. And it was a really special moment. As you remember a couple of years ago when I was on the show, I didn't realize that Everclear and Sponge toured together on their very first tour. And what happened that year when they came to Burning Foot is they collabed together on the very last song and made a very special moment out on that beach. So who knows what we'll see this year.
All right. Well, I'm going to pass it over to Wendy.
I want to know about the beer. What do you have new this year that we are looking forward to?
So this year, we have a lot of very, very, very special things happening. First, we are moving to 98 breweries at this point. Now, we're on our way to 100. We'll probably have a couple secret ones kind of coming at the last minute. So I would say it's safe to bet we'd be at 100 breweries out on the beach that represent 6 states at this point. One of them that's a new one joining Burning Foot is Stone Brewery. Now, Stone Brewery has been around for a long time, but their team out of California, not just the local guys, is super excited to come here. So from what I hear, Stone is sending some special stuff from California into Michigan to put on the beach as well. Now, Three Floyds last year, that was their very first beer festival in Michigan, and they didn't realize how great it was to actually set up on the beach. So Three Floyds is telling us they're sending up some secret stuff as well. We don't know what it is yet, but we're hearing there's some amazing things coming.
What state is it that they're coming from? I'm excited because, you know, I like to travel around and try the different breweries.
So we have breweries out of Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, Wisconsin, California, and we have one out of Missouri that's coming. So we actually have 7 states. So Shafley is going to join us out of St. Louis as well.
Fantastic. What's one of the beers that you're excited to try? Do you have any yet?
Oh, man. I got to keep looking through the list. I'll tell you this. I love to see breweries that come in from out of state, but the breweries that are in our backyard, like what they're able to bring, they truly bring their A game. So Pigeon Hill is always one of my favorites. Like, they're in our hometown, but every year, they bring an entire draft list of one-offs, and they don't tell anyone what's coming till the very last minute. So to see, you know, somebody in your backyard bring 10 different beers and nobody's ever tried those, I always make sure I stop by their booth just to see what they've got coming. So to me, the surprise of getting in and seeing everything that's coming there, those are always my favorite beers to try.
That's always fun. Tito? Yeah.
So you covered the music, covered the beer. Let's talk about the food. I mean, it looks like you got some new vendors coming out. Can you talk about the food and who you got coming back and who you got new coming?
Yeah. So every year, you know, we try to support local. We're hosted in Muskegon. So Muskegon restaurants, if we can bring them to the beach, that's what we're working towards. So we've always had six food vendors out there. We're adding two more this year. As the crowd grows, we need to extend the food offerings we have there. So this year we're adding Tiki Boys, which is a great restaurant in Lakeside. They specialize in Hawaiian cuisine. They do some amazing stuff, from different rice bowls to, you know, burritos to you name it. Like that Hawaiian fare, those guys hit that. And they are a passionate group of local chefs that just kills it. And then the other food vendor we're adding this year is Rolling Stone Pizza. Mm-hmm. And they are a mobile wood-fired oven. We're going to set them up on the beach. Charlie and Rocky, man, those guys are the real deal. Going from like creating their dough in-house, like working with specialized yeast, working with the best flour they can get, all the way from shaving parm over the top of your pizza to like fresh cut pepperoni. Like, it is the real deal. And that's what we want to bring to anybody who comes in from out of town that's going to Burnyfoot. It's the food vendors and the cuisine that you get represents our backyard. And we want you to have the best meal you can while drinking the best craft beer that you can and just love it. So.
Okay, I'm gonna pass it back to Wendy real quick. She got a couple more questions for you.
So one of the things that I've always thought was really cool about Burning Foot was that you can sleep on the beach. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we have two different campgrounds set up. We have a RV camping area, which is up near the Muskegon Channel. It's within walking distance of us, but if you have a trailer or an RV, you're able to come up there and camp right near the water. And then we also have a tent camping area, and that tent camping area has bonfire pits on it. It's set up in the sand, and you're right next to the Muskegon shore. So you can come and set up your tent site earlier that day, hang out on the beach for the day. The deck is right next to us. You can grab some lunch or an early afternoon cocktail, and then you can come over to the festival from there. And then when you're done, you basically walk right next door and your campsite's ready for you. It's a truly unique experience to be able to go to a beer festival on the beach and then tent camp on the beach along with it.
That's fun. How do they get tickets if they're wanting to do the tent camping? Is there like a separate registration?
Yeah, so all of our tickets run through our website and our Facebook page. So Facebook, Burning Foot Beer Fest, and then online, burningfoot.beer being the website. There's a buy ticket link right there. And then that'll let you buy your general admission tickets, VIP tickets, tent camping, shuttle, designated driver. Whatever ticket you're looking for, you can get it right from there. Now, each tent camping site allows you to have up to four people on that tent site. So it costs you $75 a night, but you can have four people stay on that site. So it's cost you, you know, less than $20 a head. You can get in there early in the morning, set up your site, hang out all day, come to the festival, and then go back after that. It's a very easy, affordable way to like hang out at the beach for the day.
It sounds like a lot of fun, but what if I'm not a tent camper? Have you guys worked out anything with any area hotels, anything like that?
We have. So we have two hotels, the Delta and the Shoreline Inn, that are kind of our official hotels to stay at. Unfortunately, we have a large number of followers, and those hotels, they get sold out early on in the year. So at this point, it'd be very difficult to find a hotel room there. from what I'm hearing, Grand Haven or Grand Rapids are now the nearest hotels to stay at. So we always recommend folks get a hotel as early as you can, check Airbnb or camp on the beach. It's the only time of year you can actually camp on the beach in Muskegon as well. So this is, even if you're not normally a tent camper, it's a really unique way to kind of get out there and camp.
So I see this is your 7th annual, you know, beer fest that you guys, you've been doing this for a little while. And in order to last that long, you got to have some really good sponsors. Can you talk to us a little bit about the type of sponsorship you've been able to maintain over the years? And if you have some new sponsors coming out this year, or if maybe somebody's listening, they're interested.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're always looking for great sponsors. You know, we're kind of picky about the sponsors we bring on, actually. We want to make sure that sponsors that come in understand what we're trying to do. Like, we really want to create a unique environment. And some of the new sponsors we have a couple of credit unions coming on. We have Forefront Credit Union out of Manistee. We have a Community Choice Credit Union, which earlier today just sponsored the stage for us. They're a new rebranded credit union in the Muskegon area. We have a couple of really great cannabis shops, one of them being Grassy Knoll, that's actually providing shuttle service from their facility along Seaway Drive out to the beach and back. And then, of course, you get some party favors and a free lunch along with it. But yes, you could still, you know, go to Grassy Knoll and enjoy your time there. You know, we have great industry sponsors from the brewing industry. We have great financial sponsors, insurance sponsors, real estate companies. You know, Real Estate West has always sponsored our cups every single year. They've been amazing. You know, it's my cousin that still does it. You know, Tom Cereal, Real Estate West, I got to give him a plug. But, you know, they support our initiative, and we can't thank those sponsors enough. They do an amazing job. Our distributors always stand up. They are guild members. They support the initiative we have here. You know, each year we're fortunate to bring on new folks and continually build this festival to try to represent the culture of the west side of Michigan and the amazing beer we have in Michigan and in the Midwest.
Cool. Thanks for that. Pass it back over to Ken.
All right. So as we mentioned, this is going to be my first year. So let's help me build a survival guide. I am well versed in both concert attending as well as festival attending. But when you mix them together, it kind of scares me a little bit, just because there's so much that I'm going to want to do. Let's start with a survival guide. What time do the doors open, and how many tastings am I getting for my entry?
Yeah, so if you're on general admission, your gate opens at 3 p.m. Now we run 3 to 10 p.m. So you have 7 hours in this festival ground. Now, if you're VIP or special guest, your gate opens at 2 p.m. So you have 8 hours inside the festival grounds to really enjoy your experience. So if you're a first time goer, gates open at 3, really understand your surroundings. So we are set up in a circle format, which means when you walk through the front gates, 360 degrees all around you is music, beer, art, the water, everything you want to see. All you got to do is simply turn around and you're going to see all of it. So Ken, for you, I would say as soon as you enter the gates, try to visit our nonprofit sponsors. Those two folks, one of them is Noah's Project, and they will let you check your shoe, coat, sweater, bag, whatever you want. If you want to go barefoot in the sand, it takes a couple bucks. They'll take your shoes, they'll take your sandals, whatever you want. They'll store it for you for the day. That way you can go barefoot in the sand and really enjoy your time. On the other side of that, you're going to find Noah's Project. You're going to find Kids Food Basket. They help provide meals to underprivileged children in the school system and do lunch and dinner service to them. They're selling pretzel necklaces. As you know, a beer festival, the grand pretzel necklace is an amazing thing to wear around you. If you buy one from them, you're going to support local kids who have a hard time getting meal service in the school system that we've got. We want you to enjoy that time and enjoy supporting local nonprofits. Outside of that, walk the circle, visit the 98 breweries we've got. You'll also see some sponsors on the inner circle. We have some breweries in there along with White Flame and who else is in there? They bring the thing. Jeez, I'm drawing a blank on them. Anyway, they're out of Ada. You know, there's some really great breweries. There's some body painting happening in the middle of the circle as well. So whether you want to watch the models get painted as like earth elements, or you want to get an airbrush tattoo yourself, you can go visit that. Visit the beach. You can walk into the water with a beer. It's the only time you're actually able to step into Lake Michigan with a beer in your hand and really enjoy your time. As the night falls, you know, grab some food from a local food vendor, go visit one of the bonfires that are set up all along the shoreline, and then listen to some great music. I mean, it's truly a unique environment when you're out there. Just walk around and enjoy your time.
So the goal is to go from start to end. Like you want people to be there and enjoy it the entire time. When does the music start?
Music starts a half an hour after the main gates open. Okay. So main gates open at 3:30 is when music starts. Now, there's always a huge, huge line of people, just like every beer festival, standing an hour ahead of time. We usually get that entire line inside of the festival within 45 to 50 minutes. So we always wait a half an hour to start music. So even if you're way back, you know, half mile out, trust that that line moves quick, and we won't start music till a half an hour after between gates open. So you may have to wait 5-10 minutes to get inside. You know, if you hear music playing, trust me, you're walking, you're on your way, you'll be inside soon.
And I don't think you mentioned an answer. How many tasting tokens tickets do I get for my entry?
So you get 15 tickets. So you get 15 3-ounce samples with that, which for all the beer that we have, that is a very, very, very good amount of sampling tickets that you get. I think it's the same you get with all the Michigan Brewers Guild stuff. And then each ticket outside of that is just $1. So for another $20, you get another 20 tasting tickets, and they will go a long ways. I wish everyone went to exactly 3 ounces, but maybe somebody's, you know, takes a little bit extra pull or something like that. And yeah, you know, it happens.
Well, when you're there for 7 to 8 hours, you know, trying to plan it and go through, you know, 2 tastings an hour, that's definitely within the realm of possibility. I know for myself, when you mix in the heat and mix in tasting, obviously stay hydrated. How do you guys deal with making sure all of your consumers are hydrated, drinking water, and staying safe?
Wow. So this year we have a new sponsor, Cold Break. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them. They're out of Grand Rapids. They make some amazing jockey boxes. So Cold Break is our official water sponsor this year. So they're bringing 4 4-tap jockey boxes out there, and we're hooking up filtered water systems to each one of those. So those jockey boxes will be packed with ice. So you can go get a constant stream of water. You can bring in an empty water container and fill it up all day with fresh, cold water. Now, if you don't want to bring in a container and carry it with you, Noah's Project and Kids Food Basket will have cold, ice-packed bottles of water that you can just buy from them. And then all of the money that you spend with them goes 100% to them as well.
And if I'm staying at the campground, do I have access to get in and out of the campground, or am I locked out until I am done for the day?
No, that's the beautiful part. Since the campground's right next to us, you can come and go as you please. So if you check into the campground that morning, you can bring in a cooler with food and beverage inside of that. And then you can have lunch at the campground, you know, hang out for the day, You can walk over to the festival grounds, hang out, have some beer. If you want to come back over to your campground for dinner, you can go over there, grab some food, and then come back in for the concerts at the end of the night. So you can come and go as you please.
That's actually good to know in case I need to take a minute to rest in between bands, or, you know, maybe relax a little bit. I know my drinking ability is not what it used to be. So I can't party all day like I used to. And I think I'm the youngest one on this panel anyway. So everyone's just like, yeah, whatever. Let's go. Let's drink.
Ken, I heard you guys have a whole crew coming over. So like, you gotta sell it, man. You gotta do it up.
Hey, you know, I'm honest with myself more than anything else. And that's who I need to be honest with. Cause if I think I'm going to be able, I did Friday and Saturday at the Guild Festival, and that was my first beer festival in God knows how long. Or, well, I did go to the spring one in Traverse City, but nonetheless, trying to match up what I used to do at beer festivals is just, it just doesn't happen anymore. So that's great to know, though, because we are going to be camping. We're bringing six of us that are going to be there. All of us are going to be camping. All of us are going to be getting in and out. Is there a beer? I know Tito kind of asked you, I believe. Is there a beer or brewery that might be new or exciting for you to bring in that this is their first time or your first time having them?
You know, there are,
other than Stone.
There's always an other, yeah, well, you know, Stone's been around a long time. So I really can't advocate for Stone coming in. Like, I mean, I love that they're there and I love that they're excited about coming. But as we talked a couple years ago, you asked me the same question. And I had said that Reed City was one of my favorite breweries to come there. And they're a small brewery in a small town, but they made great, great product. You know, each year I search for the smallest brewery coming in and the amount of beer that they're going to bring in with them. Not by volume, but like the specialty beers that are there. Right now, I haven't picked my favorite. I'm debating between a couple, but we have a Burning Foot app. And if you download that app on Android or Apple, you will then be able to see all the breweries coming and all of the beers that they've got as well. So definitely download the Burning Foot app now and you'll be able to see everything that's there. The reason we did that is if a brewery changes a beer at the last minute, they have the chance to pull that beer and pull something else into it. So that is the most up-to-date beer list we have, which we're pushing a lot of the breweries to make sure they fill that in. So I'm constantly kind of like reading the app to see what I'm most excited about. And brewers have a lot going on, so not all the beers up to date. So I have not picked my favorite yet. Next week, I will know my favorite beer. But I'll tell you that the Prague from City Built, Ed, I'm giving him a shout out at the moment. I really do love this beer. And the fact that he owns a house in Lakeside, like a mile from Burning Foot, is also a pretty nice thing as well.
You can't go wrong with the Prague. So there's another... There's another aspect of the festival that, you know, looking at your website, that I wanted to bring into it. What's new evolving around art? Because you noticed that you stated that art is a big, big factor that you bring into Burning Foot Festival as well. What are you bringing this year as far as the art aspect of it?
So art for us was like display and function. So okay. A few years back, we did a functional piece that was different art earth elements, and those were also charging stations. So you'd meet around the charging station. It was like sun, wind, fire. You could charge your phone, but that was also like a meeting spot, like a hub. So after last year, the temp was like 92 degrees. It was full sun. It was really, really hot out there. So we looked at safety. How do we build something that's functional? It's attractive from an art standpoint, and that it could help keep people cool. So we have a cool down station that's built of different totems, and then those totems have like misting spraying stations underneath them. You can kind of like walk through this exhibit, and that will help cool you down at the same time. So it's really more of like a pass through element, but it's going to be set up near the water. You'll be kind of like able to walk through it. Lee Brown, who is the proprietor for the Muskegon Art Museum, is on our board. And earlier this year, they had kind of a like nine-hole golf exhibit that they put inside the museum. And some of those pieces that got dismantled are actually being brought out, and they're going to help build this cool down station for us. So this year's art piece will be a little more functional, but it'll still have some really cool elements to kind of like walk through. It's almost like, I don't want to say it for lack of a better term, like Andy at Starving Artist always builds a haunted house, which it's kind of art in its own way. We're doing the same thing. You kind of walk through it, but it helps cool you down on a hot summer day.
That's cool. It's something to at least, you know, break the heat and is artistic. That's a really cool idea. Wendy?
So how about tell us a story of something really cool that's happened in the past that just always makes you smile when you think about the festival?
Man, there are a lot of stories. I don't know if I can share all of them.
That's the one we want.
All right. Okay. I'm going to share a story with you, and those two folks will probably laugh and be mad at me at the same time. But this is part of what makes Burning Foot so great. The sense of culture that's out there and like community is what we always love. So the very, very, very first year, we were very young in how we set things up, and there was a very large sense of free spiritedness, which is still there, but it's a little different. So two of our friends that represented a brewery out of Kalamazoo were kind on each other. Let's just say they weren't together, but they were kind on each other. The end of the festival, we might have heard something happening in one of the areas of the festival grounds. We didn't look, but anyway, a couple months later, we hear that those friends of ours had conceived a child. And that was the very first Burning Foot baby that ever happened. And it was year one. And it was friends of ours, Brock and Chelsea, you already did great friends. They're awesome people. So a couple years later, they have their beautiful daughter. She's amazing. They come back to the festival, not year two, but year three. And they are enjoying consumption again. Something happens a couple months later, we hear we're pregnant again. And I'm like, wait, is that Burning Foot baby number two? And they're like, yes, it is. So I'm like, when you come to our festival, you can't drink anymore, buddy. You're like, I love you, but you can't drink. So we have two Burning Foot babies that have come out of that, which I'm sure there's probably more than that. But anyway, it's some of our favorite stories because they're dear friends of ours. But I'm like, buddy, when you come to the beer festival, you can't consume alcohol anymore. You gotta like keep it under control. So anyway, you know, there's all kinds of really funny stories like that, but the fact that, you know, friends of our, anyway, it's always a good story. Always a good story. It starts from the very first year and kind of builds on. So.
Not once, but twice.
So, twice is what makes it funny.
That's right. So I was looking on the website and I see that there is a spot to volunteer. You know, I am a, professional volunteer basically, so I'm always interested in are you guys still taking volunteers in case somebody wants to come out and wants to get more involved, doesn't just want to be there drinking beer?
Yeah, so we have a few spots left, and we have an amazing following of volunteers who come back year after year. I think we have 20 or 30 spots left. Most of those are cleanup on Sunday. We have a couple of graveyard shifts. As you know, we try our very best to be a zero footprint festival. So the graveyard shift is actually separating trash and putting it into compostable and recyclable and what actually goes to the landfill. We stay up overnight, tear apart every bag and make sure it's all separated and disposed of appropriately. So we have some graveyard shifts and we have some cleanup on Sunday shifts. But that volunteering comes along with a lot of really good hospitality. We try to never take for granted the volunteers who help us out. So you know, I've the festival's on Saturday. On Thursday night, we do a brewers or a volunteer training session at Unruly Brewing Company. It's really good. It gives you a chance to meet all of the captains, all of the staff members that are out there. Unruly's kind enough to give a deal to all of the volunteers, a deal on beer for that night. And then Friday, we do our brewers and volunteer party. So we actually go out to the beach this year. And some of the bands that are showing up Saturday are actually there Friday night and hanging out with us. The brewers are out there hanging out with us. It's all the volunteers, which we have about 450 volunteers actually get to come out. We give them dinner for the night. We have some hosted beer for the night. Some of the bands, you get a chance to meet them along with it. Some of our special sponsors are there along with it. So it's a really, really, really cool environment where you're able to go out, have a fun time before the festivities happen Saturday, and enjoy your time.
That's awesome. I love to hear that.
That's a good sell for me to want to volunteer next year.
Right, yeah. Next year, yeah.
Now, last year when we interviewed you, you had a really solid thought you were going to bring. Kind of like Burning Foot Children, you might have another name for them. Not like On Fall, but do you have any upcoming bands that might be a secret for this year or next year you're going to try to work towards?
Yeah, not yet. So I'll tell you this, because, you know, obviously, Ken, for some reason, you seem to pull all of the things I don't want to share out of me. So
I gave you the opportunity before the show to just, you know.
I know. So I'll tell you this. Early on this year, we had a lot of different bands we were talking through. So on our radar, and we had active conversations with them. We were talking to The Offspring. They were very much an active band. It just didn't work out with routing. They were in Japan and we couldn't get them brought back in time. Sublime with Rome was part of that as well. Like really, really, really good conversation with them. Jillian Marley and the Wailers was also another one.
I was actually gonna say, because yeah. I saw Sublime with Rome with the Wailers. By far one of the best shows I've ever been to. So when you said Sublime with Rome, I'm like, man, the Wailers would be really awesome at Burning Foot.
Yeah. I'll tell you, they are very much within our radar. Like we are looking at them closely. A lot of it comes down to like routing and where they're at, whether they're going on tour, they want to stay West Coast, East Coast. Like it gets tough. As we try to book everything together, it's not, we have like what we want and then what's realistic are two very different things. I feel confident in the next couple of years, you'll see Sublime with Rome. You'll see Jillian Marley with the Wailers. You'll see Slightly Stupid out there. You're going to see a lot of really cool bands that are fitting that vibe. I know Blink-182 was one of the ones that are on our radar as well. There were some light conversations. So as we grow and as we pull in like more bands, obviously you can tell from when we talked last year, the bands that were out there and what we brought on this year, you can see that growth that comes along with it. So we always want to keep bringing better breweries, better beer, better bands into that mix and not have to change the price point very much for you to see these amazing artists.
Before we get to our final questions, there is one question just because obviously knowing I'm not a big fan of Lit, but I know of Lit, I know the Plain White Tees, I know Everlast, but your Limp Bizkit cover band really doesn't fit with those other bands, those other groups, those other songs. They're, you know, Limp Bizkit is a very vulgar group. Is the Chocolate Starfish group more toned down? Are they more clean, or are we getting Limp Bizkit as if it was Limp Bizkit.
You're getting a cover of Limp Bizkit. Those guys are based out of Muskegon as well, and over the last year, grown to be a very, very, very popular group. They dress and have the stage performance of a great Limp Bizkit tribute band. You know, they're a little more PC. You know, they're, if you've watched the Woodstock 99 documentary, it's called lately, like, they're not going to be tearing down plywood and doing crowd surfing with it. Like, they're a great band. They do an amazing job. And they do respect to the covers that they've got as well. Like, you're going to hear some good Limp Bizkit music, and it's going to sound just like those guys. So,
I mean, I was a kid in the 90s, so I was definitely in the nu metal world. That's how I knew, like, DJ Lethal was in House of Pain and that whole thing. But as we round the corner, we're going to be finishing the Michigan Beer Series episode number 30 for Burning Foot 2022. I'm guessing this might be a yearly thing, Alan. So we might need to plan a little bit more in advance next year for us, so that people can make sure they can get hotels. But we'll stay on top of that. But let's go through with our final questions, starting with Wendy. Wendy, what's your final question for Alan?
So I'm going to say I'm putting it on my calendar now, so that I will have it free next year. Dang it. My question is, what new brewery do I have to try?
Oh. Well, all right. Hold on. I got to pull it up here because I need my brewery list in front of me.
You know, there's a very good brewery. I was going to say, there's a very good brewery list if you go to mibeermap.com and download the Michigan Brewery Map app, free for everyone, including our our new sponsor, Burning Foot Beer Festival, who helps us make sure that app is up to date daily.
You know, I would say that, any small brewery we can find is good. Broadleaf is doing amazing work. Like, I love the beers that they're putting out. So definitely try Broadleaf. They're probably one of my favorites to be attending this year. Yeah, definitely one of my favorites.
Tito, what's your final question for Alan?
All right, so since Nick isn't here, I'll go ahead and ask the question. You're getting home after a day of work, right before Burning Fest. What is that go-to beer that's in your refrigerator, other than Prague, of course? What is your go-to beer that's just sitting in your fridge, that's always there whenever you want it, waiting for you?
You know, there's a lot of local beer that sits in my fridge. Now, if I need a garage beer, then I'm grabbing PBR or Miller High Life all the time. But just because I need a lawnmower beer every once in a while. But I'll tell you what, you know, Pigeon Hill is making some amazing beers. Their Catalina Mexican lagers, amazing. They actually just released a Walter Goes to Belgium, which is a gin barrel aged beer, which is barrel aged in our gin barrels from Wonderland Distilling Company as well. Shameless plug for my distillery. But you know, like Grand Armory's Wheezing the Juice is always, always, always great. You know, I love Unruly's Rebel Rouser. Man, the Rake's got that table beer, the 2-2-3-1 table beer. Like, I love that. Like, there's a lot of really, really, really great beer in our backyard. So I try to keep my beer fridge stocked full of amazing local beer as much as I can.
Cool. Awesome.
And one more time, what was the name of that distillery?
Wonderland Distilling Company.
And where is Wonderland Distilling Company?
In Lakeside, and it's on your way to Burning Foot. It's maybe a mile back. So off of all the amazing craft beer you had, if you need to cleanse your palate with a good cocktail, hit up Wonderland on your way back.
All right, my final question for you, and this is going to be I want to see how you feel, how confident you are. How fast do you think you could run from end to end in the sand at Burning Foot? Like, what's the distance wise? Like, how fast?
Oh, jeez. I mean,
and can we, like, get you doing this with the Rocky montage theme in the back?
So, funny story to that. I'm sitting in a hotel room near the Grand Rapids Airport right now, and I'm flying to Philadelphia tomorrow. So I might actually go to the art museum and try to do like the Rocky run up the stairs to make it work. But if I'm going to run from one end of Burning Foot to the other end of Burning Foot, it would depend on if there's people inside the circle.
No people. But
if there's no people, I got probably like a 6-minute run. That sand is tough, man. It's hard to run through that. It's hard. I'm not as young as I used to be, dude. I try, but it takes me a minute.
All right. That's the Michigan series for Burning Foot Beer Festival 2022. Tickets are still available. Is camping still available?
Yes, it is.
RV camping
is sold out. 10 camping's available.
10 camping is still available. Come join me. Maybe I'll bring some party favors for the campgrounds that you can enjoy with us at Better on Draft. My name is Ken, for my co-host Tito. Thank you so much for swinging by and subbing in on a Monday night. Wendy, of course, it's always great to have you. Glad you are back and safe from one of your many, 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 many trips that you take. A lot of us are jealous of your trips, that's for sure. But that's going to do it. Michigan Beer, episode 30. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.